My name is Spencer. I am 9 years old. Today is July 30th, 2020. I am speaking with Graham, who is my brother. I am recording this interview in Amherst, New York.
My name is Graham. I am 5 years old. Today is July 30th.
And I'm
speaking with Spencer, which is my brother. I am recording this interview in Amherst, New York.
Can you tell me about someone who had a big influence on your life? Would you tell me about some of the most important lessons that person taught you?
Hi, my name is Evie, and I am the grandmother of these two lovely boys. And they're asking me about someone who has had a big influence on my life. And I guess I would have to say that would be my mom, because she taught me all about how to be a good person and how to be a good Jewish person. And she taught me all about my background and my family that I did not know. And she always had a big impact on my life, and she still does, even though she's been gone for 12 years.
Oh, and a big person who had a big influence in my life, my name is Barry Weinstein, and I'm being interviewed by my grandkids, Spencer and Graham Weinstein. And who had a big influence on my life? The biggest influencer I had in my life were my parents, because as a baby, they taught you everything you know, and they lead you in the right direction, although parents can only do so much. They could lead you just like leading a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. Parents just guided me through my early years and set me up for the rest of my life. And I hope to do that with everybody else.
Can you describe one of your happiest memories?
One of the happiest memories I had when my children were born. I have two children, Ronald and Daniel. Daniel happens to be the father of these two young men who are interviewing us today. And I just remember when they came out, and then we were a family. We were a family of three, and then we were a family of four. And those are my happiest moments. And then my family expanded, where I have four grandkids, and I remember when each of them became my grandchild and were born, and four very happy, emotional times for me. And we're still happy and progressing through our lives.
And I would have to say ditto on that. My happiest moments were when my children and my grandchildren were born. Besides that, I would have to say when I went to college and graduated from college and got married and got a job and had a career. So I've had so many happy moments, but the happiest were being with my wonderful family.
What are you proudest of? Why does it make you feel proud?
I am proudest of my family, again, my children and my grandchildren. And I guess I'm proud of the success and happiness that we've had in our lives.
What am I proud of? I am very proud to be continuing on life and passing on what I've learned to my children and now to my grandchildren, and seeing their success makes me very proud. These two guys here who are interviewing us, how proud I am of the work they've done in school and how nourishing they could be to me, to us, and watching them learn and learn how to read and learn how to do an interview, this makes me very proud. And I'm proud of all the good things they are doing and what they've taught me.
Now we are moving on to COVID-19 pandemic questions. Are you afraid? What frightens you?
I'm afraid of getting ill with the COVID virus and passing it on to others. That's one of my biggest fears, is me getting ill and making somebody else ill. That's why the precautions I'm taking and making sure where I'm going and how I do it safely and wearing a mask and washing my hands and make sure that we're doing things right, because I don't want to get ill and I don't want to give it to anybody who I know or who I love. So that's important to me.
And I would say ditto to that as well. But I could also say I'm also afraid of the consequences of all this and what our future is going to be like. And I'm afraid for my kids, and I'm hoping that they can go to school eventually and live their lives the way they should be.
What has given you comfort and hope during this time?
I would say being with my family. We're lucky because we have this bubble where we can all be together, because our son and daughter-in-law worked it out that way. So we can be with our family whenever we want to be. Our family that lives here in Buffalo, that is. So that gives me great comfort and great hope.
What gave me comfort when we first found out about COVID and went into isolation, I used to put a little bear in the window, and that gave me comfort and hope that sooner or later we will all be okay and be able to move on. I just hope that all the work we're doing not to spread COVID and not to get ill keeps us safe and well. So when this is all over and there's a vaccination and we could all get back to our whatever normal lives we had and will have, we could do so safely. And we're giving up a lot of time and putting in an effort so we can continue on our ways.
What memory of this time do you think will stay with you?
What memories will stay with me? Just being cooped up, just staying at home and not going out, not living your life like I used to. I'm 70 years old, and I turned 70 right at the beginning of this COVID crisis, and lots of birthday parties postponed, so I'm having a year-long birthday party here. But I just hope that once we're done with this, we'll look back and say we did it safely, and the world's going to change, and we'll change with it. And You know, I look back to all the caring people we were with and being sheltered, especially with our kids here and our family, and we keep on checking in with each other, family and friends, and we were putting in the time and effort to continue.
And I would say, I'm going to remember all the Zoom calls that I did, and if I never see another Zoom call after this is all over, I'll be very happy. But we've enjoyed very much having a social Zoom with our friends, happy hours, and those are really fun. And we have sleepovers with our two grandsons that have been really, really fun. And we play a lot of dominoes here with our friend Rose, who's allowed to come in our house, and our family. And we have a new grand dog during this crisis, and that's a good memory as well.
If quarantine ended tomorrow, what's the first thing you do?
I would go get a manicure and pedicure and a facial and a massage.
I would be going out with my friends again and giving lots of hugs, because I miss that. I miss seeing people from a distance and just, you know, waving and things like that. You know, I miss going to a ballpark. I miss just getting out. I just miss being with other people and going to music and concerts and going on trips and things like that. So that's what I do. And as long as it's safe, I'm ready to go.
I would actually play hockey because I'm on the select team.
And I miss going to your hockey games. So there
you
go.
What would you do, Graham, if you could do anything?
I would just
play with your friends.
Play with my friends or sign up for hockey or something.
Yep.
Now we are moving on to great questions for a person. Do you have any regrets?
Any regrets for what's happening during this COVID?
No, just in your whole life.
Yeah. Some of my regrets are in my life. I don't know. It's hard to think. It's really hard for me to say. You know, I think I've been a good person, and you know, when you look back at life, you know, there's always things that'll pop up, but I think I've been pretty even keeled, and you know, maybe I do regret not seeing more of the world before all this happened with COVID, and it makes you feel that your thought was you always had time to do things, and time is slipping away. Now you realize that anything could change. Life could change in a moment's time.
I've made some choices that I regret, but I think I have gotten past them. And I guess I regret not doing more traveling, just like Barry said, or seeing more of the world. But I feel like I'm in a really good place now. So I just keep going.
For future generations of your family listening to this year from now, is there any wisdom you'd want to pass on to them?
I would just say be good to each other. Stay close, keep talking, and just be good to each other and just be nice and be together. And whatever it is, but you know, you still try to keep up with family, and you just do your best, and you be good to others as others will do unto others as others would do unto you.
And I would say, be humble, be generous, be kind, be enthusiastic, be loving, and try not to be angry, because anger never solved anything.
Is there anything that you never told me but want to tell me now?
Oh boy, that's a loaded question there, Mr. Spencer. I haven't kept much away from you, and I've been very hopefully honest with you, and hopefully I've taught you guys a lot of good things, and I hope to be able to continue that as long as we're here. And if you have a question to ask me, both you guys, anybody, I will answer as best I can.
I would just say, all I want for you is to be happy and healthy and take advantage of every opportunity in your lives that you can.
Turn the tables. Tell the person you're interviewing what they've meant to you. Well, you've meant to me so much because you taught me so much. And you've meant to me so much because you've taught to me so much. Graham.
Graham, come here for a minute.
How does Nani and Pa mean to you?
I don't know a lot.
Come here. It's okay. It's okay. It's all right.
I'm coming to you.
No. What's next?
Are there things about me you've always wanted to know but have never asked?
Is there something about you I'd like to know but I haven't asked? I can't think of anything. I can't think of anything that I don't know about you. Is there something?
No.
No. We keep everything pretty much out in the open, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Almost.
Yeah, almost.
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 Yeah. I certainly don't want to be nosy, a nosy grandmother. So.
I'm starving.
How would you like to be remembered?
How would I like to be remembered? I'd like to be remembered as somebody that you love very, very, very much. What about you, Pa?
The question was again, I'm sorry.
How would you like to be remembered?
How would I like to be remembered? I don't need a big statue placed anywhere of who I am or who I was, but I would just like to be remembered as a good, kind, decent person.
Which you are.
What are your hopes for me, for my children?
Your hopes for you, Spencer?
Mm-hmm.
My hopes for you is that you get a good education, find a nice wife.
A one person to love.
A person to love. And have kids of your own and be happy and do things like you continue doing, like you're very kind and you like the environment and you're kind to the environment and you're kind to other people around you. So do good to others. That's what I hope I'm looking forward to you guys doing as you are doing now.
And I would say all of that, plus I would hope that you would do something that you could make a difference in this world. We just watched John Lewis's funeral together on TV, and he was somebody that made a difference in this world. The most humble man, but he changed the world in so many ways. And he's somebody that you could look at and say, well, if I could just do a little bit of what he could do. And that would be my hope.
What was my dad like growing up?
I've got to tell you, he was the nicest boy that you could ever imagine. Much like you, sweet, kind, loving from the moment he was born. He was a happy, easy baby, and he was always, always a good boy.
Yeah, he was, he went with the flow, didn't care much, about everything, and he did what he needed to do, and the best thing when he was a little baby, I would go home, I would go to work, and I would come home, and then when we sat down for dinner, he always took a little nap, which is the best thing, so we could sit down for dinner, and nice and peaceful and calm with me, Evie, and Danny's older brother, Ron.
What was the worst thing he did?
I'll tell you, one time when he was a little boy and we were going school supply shopping, he ran out of the car into the parking lot, and I got so angry with him. And I'm usually not an angry person, but I was mad and I let him know it. And that's about as bad as it got for him.
I think he went to too many fish concerts. And he was obsessed with Fish, the musical group Fish, and he still is obsessed with that. And he,
I'll have to call you.
But everything was doing good. He was a good baby, and everything was good.
No, we're doing an interview.
What were your jobs?
My jobs, my big job, right when I got out of college, I was working at what's called the Service Corporation, and we were looking at property maps in Erie County. I did that for a couple years, and then I took a civil service exam for social services. And I began a career in social services that lasted forever and ever until I retired. But I did a lot of things. I was working as a type of social worker, and then I was working in administration. And then when computers started to come out, I was working in data processing and computers, and I was network administrator for a computer system. And then they were asking for early retirements, and I got a little medical insurance for my retirement, and I said, time to go. So I retired, and then I started to work a couple part-time jobs. I was working at the Census Department for a couple years part-time, and I was working at Wegmans in a pharmacy for a year, and then I started to work for an immigration lawyer, and I was doing that part-time for about 3 years, and then I decided enough is enough, you know? I just have to give it all up and just relax and look at spend more time with my grandkids. And that was it. And then we decided to spend a couple months away in Florida each winter. And that leads us now up to COVID, where who knows what's going to happen now. But we're here, and we'll probably stay put for another year and see what happens then. And that's what I've been doing.
And let's see, I graduated from college in 1973, and I worked as a social worker for Erie County for 6 years until Uncle Ron was born. And after he was born and your dad was coming along, I worked very part-time just to bring in some extra money in doctor's offices and in a veterinarian's office part-time, which I really loved. And then I went back to school and got my master's degree, and I got a job at Camp Lakeland. And I worked at Camp Lakeland for a couple years when they hired me at the JCC to be the Director of Children's and Youth Services. So I worked at Camp Lakeland, and then I worked at Camp. Camp Lakeland was our community residential camp. It no longer exists, unfortunately, in our community. But it was a wonderful job, mainly because I got to meet wonderful people who are still my friends. And in fact, your mom and dad met there. So that was worth everything to me. And after that job, I worked at the Bureau of Jewish Education. First I was the program director, and then I became the assistant and then associate director, and then I became the executive director, and that's when I finished out my career. But I'm still doing some part-time work for the Mussar Institute, and I do a lot of volunteer work during this COVID time. I spend a lot of time on Zoom.
What cities did you live in besides Buffalo?
I've always lived in Buffalo, except when I went to college in Fredonia, New York. But Buffalo has been my hometown since the day I was born.
It was the same with me. I was born in Buffalo. I was told by my parents that when I came out of the hospital, I came into their new home in North Buffalo. And I lived there until I went to college. And after college, I moved back home for a very short period of time. And then when I got married, me and Evie lived in Buffalo, in the city of Buffalo. And then we bought a home in Amherst, New York, which is a suburb of Buffalo. And we lived in the same house for 40-some years, and then we moved to our present home, and hopefully our last place, and about 3 years ago. And here we are today. So we've always been Western New York people.
Who are your friends?
We have a lot of friends, a lot of close friends. A lot of friends that we went to school with, especially college with, are real good friends, and most of them live all over the country. And we keep in touch, and we see each other a lot, a few times a year. Although with COVID, it's slowing things down a little bit, but we still talk. And those friends, we have a permanent Zoom call every week, and we get together. There's got to be 12 of us. We made this perpetual call until no one's left, I guess. But you never know who's going to show up from week to week. But we are all together, and we've had a very good relationship with everybody. And I am friends with some people I went to high school with. And when we've gone to Florida, we've seen, been together for a while. And you know, along the way, we've met a lot of people here and there, and we keep going. We love to have people at our house. Hopefully, in a year, we could do it again. Well, that's where I am.
And
naming names.
And everything that he says, and besides, I have a lot of friends that I have grown to love dearly that I have worked with over the years, and we continue to talk and see each other. People that, like I said before, that I went to camp with. I mean, we have a lot of people that we can truly say are very dear friends, and they mean the world to us.
Have you traveled a lot over the years?
Yes, we have. I had my first big trip when we graduated college. Six of my friends that went to college all piled into an Impala, and we found this big old canvas tent, and it turned out to be one of our professor's tent. And we packed up that car, six of us, tightly in there, and we went all across the country for about 6 weeks or something. We went all the way down to Southern United States, into Mexico for a few days, and then up through California and home. And that was my first travel. And then we always, after a bunch of our friends decided, looked at a map and said, hey, we gotta get together. And we found a New York State Park called Chenango Valley State Park. And we went, this was probably about 1974. And every year since then, we had about 12 people in a cabin. Just we drove in, and that was that. And we all stayed in one cabin, and we've gone back every year. And we are on our, let's see, how many generations? There's us. We're in our third generation of people going there. And now there's enough of us to fill about 8 cabins. And we all go up around Columbus Day weekend. Spencer and Graham and our grandkids come up with us, and we have a lot of fun. And then where are we gone? Me and Evie went cross country one year, and we've been to California, and we've been to a lot of different places, and lately, we've gone to Florida for the last few years, and the west coast of Florida, and we like that. And a couple years ago, I made my first trip to Israel, which was, I'm glad I did it, because I don't know what's going on there now or when I can get back. As long as we're healthy, we did it. I did it, and it was an exciting time. And then what we do travel is on our way down, driving to Florida and back. We like to stop at the different states and take our time going down there. And we always stop in the Washington, D.C. area, because that's where my other son, Ron, his wife, Lisa, and the other two kids, Andrew and Hannah. And that's where we go. So we love traveling.
And I would say yes, that's true. Did he mention that we went to Israel 2 years ago?
Yep.
And I've been to England.
What?
And we love traveling and hope we can still do it.
Thank you for letting me interview you. This was really fun. And yeah.
It was great to answer all these questions, and I hope we can continue answering more and more of your questions anytime.
Thank you.
You're welcome, darling.